Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
I want to get into the Word and encourage you today, because I know this is a different kind of season, but God is full of life and joy, and I want to read some scripture to you and encourage your spirit. I know our bodies might go through some times of suffering. Maybe some get sick. I know some have even just gotten congestion or sinus from the pollen out yesterday and started freaking out. Do I have the coronavirus? Come on. It could affect our body. It can even affect our soul. You know, we start to worry about anxiousness and worry, and we got a lot of thoughts on our mind. But the one place, listen to me, church, the one place I want to make sure that it never gets is in my spirit. Come on, I can have concerns with my body or my soul, but I never want to have concerns with my spirit. So let me feed your spirit today. Let me first start and say this. Lifters, Lift Church, thanks so much for being the church this week. Do you know that collectively together, we've accumulated 98 and a half hours of volunteer service at the homeless shelter of Halo, at the Maryland Food Bank, and also over at the, we wrote cards to the medical hospitals of AGH and PRMC, and as well as the rehabilitation hospital of Encompass Health. Keep being a lifter, no matter what happens, no matter what our mandates, keep doing it. So awesome. 98 and a half hours. The preacher in me wanted to elevate that number to 100, to a nice round number, but I'm going to keep it 98 and a half. So if you got your Bible, go to Mark chapter 11. I'm so excited about this because my wife and I did not collaborate on this passage, even though she just read and encouraged in worship from this exact same passage. Contrary to public belief, we don't sit around and write sermons together in our bed, talk tongues to one another, and then interpret it to each other, and then prophesy each other. That's not what it looks like for us. It might look like that for some, but it's not for us. It involves more coffee and quiet time for me. But Mark chapter 11, and it's so cool how God works. To set up this passage, I want to let you know what's happening. Jesus, in this passage at the top of Mark 11, has just had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Scripture tells us that once he entered Jerusalem, he was going to die. So in essence, him coming into Jerusalem was him starting his own ticking time bomb, that there was only a measure of time left. In fact, one more week. He's approaching the Easter week. We like to call this week of time the Passion Week because he poured out his passion for us. So he enters in on a donkey and people lay down their palms and they celebrate him. And then it says the next day, pick it up on Mark 11 verse 12. It says the next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry and he noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. Someone say, that's a figgy tree, baby. A figgy tree he saw way off. And so he went over to see if he could find any figs. The brother was hungry. But when he approached it, there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat of your fruit again. Exclamation point. He was emphatic about this. May no one ever eat of your fruit again. I don't know if that's what it sounded like, but that's my exclamation point. He says, then the disciples heard him say it. Now, we're going to pick back up in verse 20, but what happens next is Jesus enters Jerusalem again. He goes to the temple. He starts flipping over tables, calling the high priest and some of the leaders in the synagogue, den of thieves. He is having an angrier moment. And then it picks up in verse 20 that the very next morning, as the disciples and him passed by the fig tree that he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. And Peter remembered that Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, he said, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. Big exclamation point again. And Jesus says to his disciples, have faith in God. Period. I wonder how these dynamics play out sometimes. Peter's over here, look, it's withered away. And Jesus says, have faith in God. Don't know what he meant, but then he says this, and we'll talk about that. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. On this very new sermon series we'll do online until we're in person again, this is a series for 3 weeks called Sacred Moments. And week one, we're going to talk about a figgy problem. All right, let's pray. God, I pray that you speak to our hearts through your word. I thank you that your word never returns void and that you can do it and that you could speak through me and people hear you. Enlighten our spirits and give life to our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, figs are a bit of a mystery to us, and portions of this passage can be a mystery to us. I mean, what I just said about Peter going, look, it's withered away, and he says, have faith in God. It's like, that's not what I expected you to say. And for us Americans, a lot of us are not so common to figs, except for Fig Newtons, man. Come on, how many of y'all like a Fig Newton air high five? Look, I love myself a Fig Newton here and there, although they've been experimenting with different flavors inside. If you put strawberry in the middle of that outer shell, can you still call it a Fig Newton? There's no fig in there anymore. But anyway, figs are a bit of a mystery to us. We sing weird songs like, oh, bring us some figgy pudding. What in the heck is figgy pudding? I tried to look it up. It's more English, British, or something like that. But we'll sing it, but we really don't really know a ton about figs on the American side of life. In fact, I once was hanging out with someone in Washington, D.C., who's known to be a bit of a world traveler. He's an evangelist. He's been many different places. And he saw on the menu somewhere that they had figs. And he goes, oh, come on, man. This brother gets more excited about figs than anything else. I'm like, you've traveled the globe and you get more excited about figs than you get about New York cheesesteak or something else. He's like, no, man, figs are where it's at. And it makes me ask the question, just how good are these figs? You know, one of the things that we need to look at is the figgy problem. And this is what I want you to remember throughout this passage. The figgy problem that we deal with when we read the scripture is Jesus sees our potential and doesn't want to see us live life less than the best he has for us. This is the message that we're going to get, and I want to break that down. He sees the fig tree and he doesn't want it to live less than the best he's got called for us. And the same thing's true for you and I. Let me break this down a little bit as we look at this scripture. There's three problems going on with this fig tree. The figgy problem is, number one, this fig tree is alone. That scripture says that way off in the distance, Jesus saw a fig tree. Now we know if he's isolating it and calling it out and separating it, it's alone. It's not with anything else. In fact, if it had something else around, he would have checked the tree next to it and said, this one doesn't have fig trees either or fig fruit either. But this fig tree is alone by itself in the distance. And that's one of the problems we can get into, that when we are isolated, it is hard to bear fruit and to grow in life. And now it's even harder. You know, I remember when I first started coming back to the Lord, I was far from God. I was in a touring band. I wasn't really paying attention to God. I was living more for myself. And so I had racked up what I call stupid. Sin for me is just doing stupid. And I had done a lot of stupid. And I had been invited to go to church every once in a while, and I had an urge to go to church once in a while. But I remember going to this one life-giving, amazing church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm from that area. And I went down there, and I went, and I loved the music. I loved the word. I was so pumped up when I left, but something didn't stick about it. And what I noticed is I always went alone. I didn't have any friends there, and I didn't have any connections. While I was inspired while I was there, I didn't have that connection to make it back the next week. It happened in another church, a full gospel church where I played music, and I listened to the word of God, and it inspired me, but I didn't stay connected. It wasn't until I went to a church called Household of Faith where I knew a bunch of people in the room when I arrived. And so whenever I was there, I was once again inspired by the worship, once again inspired by the word. It touched my heart, but this time it stuck. Why? Because I wasn't alone. I knew that next week somebody would ask me, hey, are you coming back? And I knew that I wouldn't have to sit by myself. I had accountability. I had encouragement. And so listen, you might be on a screen right now by yourself, but I want to encourage you, send a text to someone you would normally sit with in church and say, hey, are you tuning in with me? Or encourage somebody that you would have wanted to invite to church or you've been invited and just say, hey, tune in with me. Because when you're isolated, it's so hard to bear fruit and to have a life-giving time. In fact, I am so excited that we're trying to offer some life-giving things throughout this week. Tonight at 6:30 p.m., since our kids can't connect, and they enjoy connecting together, at 6:30 p.m., you need to tune into our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, type in Lift Church, find us. At 6:30 p.m., we are going to be uploading some content just for the kids. So those kids who've missed out, I want to encourage you. They've been watching junk on YouTube for the last 4 days. I know my kids have. I walk in and I'm like, another slime video? Like, how many of these can you watch? And why are you so excited about people talking in high-pitched voices, moving around dolls and going, ay, ay, ay. Come on, we got something good for them to watch. Tune in at 6:30. Also, our youth are uploading every single night at 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, some content. And so stay together in this time because it's so easy to be alone. You know, I was inspired on Wednesday. We uploaded our first YouTube one. And my daughter, who's normally at youth, was connecting with her cousin, who's normally at youth. They're in two different places watching the same thing. And then they got online with the leaders and started reading their Bible. And I took a picture of that. I was so moved in that moment. This fig tree was alone. And so consequently, it's not sharing nutrients. It's not covered and protected. You know, we have learned that the best figs, I've been told this as I researched some figs. Come on. The best figs grow in groups together. And you want to know why? Because they have cross-pollination. All of a sudden, they get in the mix with one another and they are cross-pollinated and they produce a better fruit. That's why I love small groups, because when we get in a small group, we cross-pollinate our faith. We start telling somebody else about our faith and they start telling us about theirs, and I encourage them and they encourage me, and guess what? We end up with better fruit. But this fig tree was alone. It was alone. And I want to encourage you, you need to belong somewhere. Because otherwise, it can be easy to not bear fruit and think that we're getting away with it. But Jesus noticed this figgy problem. Here's the second problem he noticed. The appearance. It was alone. And then the appearance of this fig tree, he pointed out that this fig tree was faking it. What do I mean by that? Fig trees are one of the rare trees that when they blossom, they actually grow fruit simultaneously with getting their leaves back from the winter. And so when you see leaves, you should see fruit. It is a sign on that tree that not fruit is coming. Fruit should be growing simultaneously. That's why when Jesus saw it, even though it was early, he expected it to have fruit when he walked up to it because he saw its leaves. Its appearance said it was something that it truly was not. And so a lot of times we can be faking it. It was all talk and no gain. It was hypocritical. It was false advertisement. Come on, we don't like false advertisement, right? You ever wonder how some people claim to be something and they're not? I would hate to be, any of y'all ever been on a dating website before and you saw, oh my goodness, this girl's looking good or this guy's looking good, and then you arrive and you're like, oh, false advertisement. I'm not sure this is the same guy. I know in our area, we got all these Royal Farm chicken and Royal Farm gas stations, and they advertise that they got the world's famous best chicken. And you know what? It is stinking good. I want to tell you, if you're not from here, you're going, chicken at a gas station's good. I'm not lying to you. It's stinking good. But have you ever pondered, how did you get the world famous tag? Like, did you travel across the globe, fry up your gas station chicken, and then some world judge went, yep, that's world famous. You can put a stamp on it, right? They're not false advertising, but have you ever wondered what people advertise sometimes? And sometimes in our Christianity, we can put on the shirt, but we haven't played the game in a long time. And the question that I have to ask is, can God tell that we're faking it? And when I look at this scripture, the answer I get is, well, if he just did with a fig tree, you bet he can tell with you and me. If he can tell that a fig tree is faking it, you can better believe that with you and me, he knows if we're faking it. And so we can't fake our Christianity. We've got to live it out. Here's what one commentary said. If you only appear to have faith without putting it to work in your life, you are like a fig tree that has withered and died because it bore no fruit. See, religion without substance angers God. Religion without substance angers God. He looked at this fig tree that should have had fruit and he said, you don't have fruit. And he was so angry, he cursed it. And that was the second problem. Number one, he was alone. Number two, he had the appearance of all kinds of fruit and he didn't have it. And number three, he was absent. This fig tree, I'm saying he as if it wasn't an it. It was absent. It was absent of the fruit. The tree advertised that it should have something that wasn't there. And you know, earlier this week, I was reading in the Old Testament. The leaders that God had picked, the people started rebelling against them. And one day they said, why do you and Aaron get to lead? Why does Aaron get to be the head of the Levites? We want to be considered just as worthy and it and elevated to the same status. And it was just reading in Numbers that God proved those he chose with fruit. In fact, here's what scripture says in Numbers 17. He told the 12 tribal leaders, he said, y'all bring me your staff. Bring me your stick. It's a dead walking stick, okay? We're going to leave it in the temple of God overnight. And this is what scripture says that in 17 verse 8, when he went to the tabernacle of the covenant the next day, they found that Aaron's staff had sprouted, blossomed, there's the leaves, and produced almonds. See, it didn't just say it sprouted. It didn't just say it had a leaves. It bore fruit. And so I want to encourage you that leaves can encourage you, but fruit can sustain you and invigorate you and encourage you. We want to be trees with fruit. So the figgy problem on our hands is so often we too are alone. We have an appearance of being more spiritual than we are. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Come on, it's so easy to say that in times where people need it. I'm praying for you. I got the appearance, but sometimes I forget to actually do it. Come on, it was alone. It had the appearance of being more spiritual than it was, and it was absent. So let me tell you what can happen during this season as we look at another tree. That was the fig tree, and it had problems. But there's another tree in Psalm 92 that I want to read to you that talks about being so life-giving, and this is what's in store for you and me. Psalm 92 said, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They are going to stay fresh and green. If you're with somebody, tell them right now, stay fresh and so green. Come on. I love that. I used to sit and read my Bible over a decade ago with a group of people in Louisiana who read their Bible super early in the morning, and I didn't want to do that. And half the time I was half asleep still, but I got up and I read, and there was a lady named Mama Nell, and Mama Nell would read this, and I remember distinctly reading this passage because she said, that's what I want. She seemed to be, I don't know, over 80. Mama Nell, if you're tuning in, I'm sorry if I did you wrong on age, but she seemed up there and she said, that's what I want to be, always green. And she was. That was the greenest woman I knew because she was full of life, no matter her age, no matter her what was going on in life. And do you know, you can be green in this season too. You can be full of life and bearing fruit. So how? Here's three practical principles of how to bear fruit. And we can be reminded of what is needed in a tree. Number one, you got to have roots. You know what's cool about roots is no one sees them, but your roots determine your fruits. Come on. I'm going to say that again. You should write that down. Your roots determine your fruits. See, no one looks at the roots. They're underground, but they determine the life that is shown on the outside. And you too need roots. We need to be rooted in deep faith. We need to be rooted in prayer. Prayer. Nothing develops roots more than prayer. Come on, when you get into seasons where you say, I don't care if anyone's watching, I don't care if I just get on my knees in my bedroom, by my bed, or whatever, I am just going to spend some time praying and developing roots. You need roots more than ever in this season. Come on, I'm not I'm not invincible to the news. There are periods of time where they shut things down and businesses, and I start to worry about friends of mine and economy and businesses. I start worrying about our income. I worry about our friends getting the coronavirus. I worry about my kids getting it. And there are times where it tries to attack me. But then I realize I've still got roots. And so I withdraw, and you can even do it silently. In just a moment, I just withdraw and I just start praying to God. Sometimes I'm in the same room with my kids and they don't even know it's happening because I was about to get overwhelmed and trampled by the news. But guess what? I got some roots and I just turned to prayer. Your prayers don't have to be fancy. You don't have to pray 15-minute long prayers. In fact, I would rather you pray 15 times a day for 1 minute than for you to pray one time for 15 minutes. Because sometimes we just need to come back again and again to our roots and believe in God for Him to develop the fruits in us of faith and confidence, no matter what kind of storm we have. You know, Peter said to Jesus, "Look, the fig tree's withered away." And this is what Jesus responded, "Have faith in God." What does that have to do with a fig tree withering away? Well, here's what I think was going on. Like I told you, Jesus is walking in an ominous time when he says this. He just started the time clock on his own life being crucified. He knew the cross was coming. That means dark clouds in his mind is rolling in. Come on, imagine it. You know the coronavirus is coming. Dark clouds are coming over. And this is Jesus's moment that he says, this isn't about a fig tree. This isn't about the temple tables that I was rolling over. This is that we need to have faith in God. This is the bigger principle that no matter how ominous it gets, have faith in God. I'm about to disappear. I'm about to be crucified. I'm about to go away, and it's going to look like the kingdom of God has lost and is losing. Come on, have you ever felt that way? Oh, the virus is coming. My income is disappearing. The kingdom of God is losing. Is he still in charge? No, have faith in God. I want to encourage you that he's still in control. I barbecued last night. That was Friday night. I was barbecuing, and it was a beautiful day. And I looked out at the sun, and I was like, God, you're still in control. It feels like ominous clouds are coming in, but you're still in control. You need to remind your spirit in prayer. Stay rooted in him. Are you having trouble removing the doubt? Here's one of the best ways that you can do it. I love what happened in Mark chapter 9. One of the people said, God, I believe you can do it, but help my unbelief. In fact, he said this. He said, anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my own unbelief. You can pray that. Just say, God, help me overcome my unbelief so that I will have figs of faith hanging on my tree no matter how dark the clouds get over my head. Number one, he had roots. We need to develop roots. Here's another principle that you need to have. Number two, rain. A fig tree grows and trees bear fruit whenever there's rain. And see, when rain washes over something, it gives life. And one of the areas that I love that brings refreshing rain in my life is worship. That's why, even though we're going through a tougher time of broadcasting and live streaming, one of the hardest things to get right in order to do this technically is to get the music sounding right. And we hope it sounded right, but I love our team and what they're doing. We have a great media team and worship team. But here's what we have decided, even when we don't get it perfectly right. Worship has to keep going. Worship renews our spirit. It's like fresh rain washing over me. I love that the other day, I know my wife was starting to feel it a little bit and show some concerns. And she was getting a little congestion. She was like, oh my goodness, do I have something? I'm like, you don't have anything. You haven't even been anywhere to get anything. And next thing I know, she just cranks up some worship songs and just starts refreshing her soul, her spirit, that God's in control. He loves me and he's a good God. We need the rain of God to just rain down on us. It changes your environment, don't you find? Whenever I turn on worship music, it just changes things. In fact, here's one encouraging praise report somebody sent to our prayer and praise. So if you've got any prayer you need, please connect with us, liftsby.com/connection. We want to hear from you. And here's one of them that someone gave me a praise report. And they said, Pastor Drew, I work at PRMC in the cancer department. And as you can imagine, we have many anxious patients. They already have to deal with cancer, let alone this coronavirus. The employees are also feeling anxious for what's to come. I just wanted to share the sight of God that God allowed me to see this week. As I was driving up to the hospital door, I saw a man down on his knees praying at the flagpole close to one of the entrances. That brought joy and peace to my heart. Do you see how just now some worship, some prayer changes the atmosphere? It brought joy and peace in my heart to know someone out there took the time out to pray for our hospital. That vision stayed in my head all day when I was getting anxious about the virus. And I think back on that praying man that showed the love of Christ. I'm asking you to pray for that for our staff and the patients at PRMC. Don't quit praying for our medical staff. Come on, nurses and doctors, thank you for what you're doing. If you're hearing me right now, we have been praying for you and lifting you up as you serve us. You are courageous, and you are amazing, and we're believing for you. And you know what? If it gets overwhelming at times, put on some worship music. Spend some time in prayer. Get your roots right. Get your rain refreshing your life. You know, I love that man was praying, and that praying man was like rain falling over this woman. Keep praying for our people. Number three, you got to have some roots. You got to have some rain. And then number three, you got to have relationships. Remember, that fig tree was alone. And we have learned that figs are better when they're not alone. Have you ever seen trees weather a storm? When they're alone, they get pushed over or they get bent over because they're all by themselves and they're bearing the full force of the wind. And when you live here on the Eastern Shore, I've learned that it's windy here, man. It gets windy often, more often than it does in Louisiana where I'm from. And I've noticed it gets windy. But how much better is it to bear the wind when you're with a group of people? Because now not one tree is bearing the wind, but all of a sudden it's distributed around those around. In fact, if you're in the middle, you hardly see but just maybe the top being affected by the heavy storm. Come on, when you get connected, you weather storms better. And so that's why I want to tell you, sometimes I feel like this virus is a demonic attack on connectivity. In fact, we even use a term called social distancing that we've all gotten familiar with. And I want to encourage that. Listen to our governor, listen to our mayor, and do the distancing. But I don't like that term, social distancing. In fact, I think we should relabel it physical distancing. I heard Pastor Chris Hodges say that, and I love that. We should physically distance, but do not socially distance yourself. Stay on FaceTime. Stay on Google Hangouts. I love our small groups are still hanging out. In fact, I was so encouraged about pictures like this, where some of our small groups were hanging out on Google Hangouts and Zoom calls. This is where small groups matter. And if you're not in a small group, there's a few of our small groups you can join in, even mid-semester. You can join in mine. We have a prayer small group that still meets, and they're doing them digitally. There's some women who get together. In fact, there's some couples who get together and do that. You could check that out on our small groups page of our website. But even if you can't do it, if you can't join a small group now, this is why you need small groups. You never know when the storms roll in. And we don't want to be a fig tree alone, or we're going to have some figgy problems. Listen, when we got roots, when the rain of God just comes over and refreshes us because we get in worship, and when we get into some relationships that encourage me, we're not alone anymore. And God just begins to move no matter how ominous the clouds get. I want to pray for that for you right now, that you can shift your perspective. And sometimes we have to shift multiple times a day. Again, I'm not invincible. It happens to me too. But this is what I've determined. You can affect my body. You can touch my soul, my mind, and my concern, and my emotions for a moment, but you cannot have my spirit. And my spirit's got peace, guys. My spirit has peace, and I want your spirit to have peace too. We need some rain. We need some roots. We need some relationships. and we will get through this thing together. We don't have to have the figgy problem. We could be just like that Psalm 92. Let me read it over your life. The righteous will flourish like palm trees. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they are going to flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit even in old age, and they will stay fresh and so green, green. Come on, let me pray over you right now. God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for everyone listening. God, I pray that you would overwhelm us with a flood of peace. Jesus, come into our lives and change our atmospheres. Turn our fear into faith. God, help us continue to fight the good fight for our faith. Throw some punches back. Develop roots. You reign over our lives and you develop relationships that just sustain us, that we have life. Father, I want to pray right now the priestly blessing over everyone listening. May the Lord, come on, just open up your palms like you're receiving something, like a gift right where you are. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he turn towards you and may he give you peace. I believe you're going to have peace, and it starts right now. I do believe that God is with you right now. You feel that peace? That's God. And he's reminding you, he's here with you. You can be in the midst of ominous clouds and problems. He's here with you. And that brings peace every time. God's people have been through this before, all throughout Scripture. They have been through it since Jesus has died and come through. I believe God's going to move and teach us how to walk through it again. And it's going to be greater than ever. But don't give in to fear in this time. Now listen, some of you might say, I haven't been all that close to God. In fact, this is very different for me. Even this word, it's just very different from me. And sometimes I struggle to believe it, but I want to believe it. Like that scripture, you know, I believe it, but help my unbelief. Maybe you've wandered from God, or maybe you've never given God a chance, and you're realizing now that right now, man can't fix our problems. We could tell people to wash their hands and physical distancing. Come on, you see how I changed it already? We can physical distance. We can wash our hands, but at the end of the day, we're not stopping the attacks of the enemy. You need God for that. God is the only one who can move in our lives and do the miraculous. He moves mountains if you only have a mustard-sized seed of faith. He can move these mountains of anxiety and fear out of your life if you have faith in God, as Jesus said. If you're right now wanting to say, I want to put my faith in God, I want to change the way I'm living from this point forward and put my faith in God, then Scripture says that if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Look that up in Romans 10:9. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. I can help you confess with your mouth right now, but I can't make you believe it in your heart. Would you pray this prayer with me? Repeat it after me, and I'm asking you to believe it in your heart. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I've done stupid. I've made mistakes. I have fallen short of the standard you have for me. I know I'm not measuring up. I've messed up. But I thank you that there is good news in the gospel. It says Jesus came out of heaven. God lived among us, lived a perfect life to pay the price for my guilty life so that I could be set free. I receive that freedom now. Jesus' blood wash over me, make me clean, and I'll be whole again. Come on, Scripture says, we sing a song that says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You don't have to be scared of the blood. All it is covering our guilty conscience, our guilty blood with innocent blood. So that when every knee bows and every tongue confesses, and when we find ourselves in heaven face to face with the Father, he doesn't see my sin and my guilty blood. He sees Jesus' innocent blood that covers me. That's what Jesus did for you. And if you just prayed that prayer, he just did it for you too. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.